Alright everyone, welcome back. Ready to dive into a topic that's just as complex as it is crucial global cybersecurity law.
Absolutely, and it's only getting more important as businesses expand globally.
That's what we're diving into today. Specifically, how these laws impact you, no matter where you are in the world or where your data lives. We've got a ton to unpack, so let's get right to it.
Let's do it.
Now, when we say cybersecurity law, what are we actually talking about?
We're talking about the rules of the road for the digital world. Everything from protecting your amazing ideas to navigating the aftermath of a data breach. And believe me, it's a lot more exciting than it sounds.
Okay, so less boring legal jargon, more need to know to keep our businesses safe and thriving.
Exactly.
So let's kick things off with those uh-oh moments everyone dreads, data breaches. It seems like they're always in the headlines.
Yeah, and the fallout can be rough. But here's where it gets interesting. You'd think stricter regulations always mean better protection, right?
Right, makes sense to me.
Well, sometimes those strict regulations can actually discourage companies from reporting breaches at all.
Wait, seriously? Why wouldn't a company want to come clean about a breach?
Imagine you're a company in a country with super strict data breach notification laws, huge fines for violations.
Yeah.
You might be tempted to just sweep a small breach under the rug, hope no one notices, rather than risk those penalties.
I see. It's like choosing between two not so great options. But transparency is still important, right?
Absolutely. Transparency builds trust, and in the digital world, trust is everything. But think about your own business for a second. Are you subject to HEPA regulations?
HEPA, that's all about protecting health information, right? Like for hospitals and clinics and such.
You got it. And in the U.S., HEPA says you have to report breaches in certain situations, say if someone accessed personal health information without permission. But, and this is important, other countries have different rules. Some have deadlines for reporting, like the EU's GDPR, which has that strict 72-hour window.
72 hours? Wow, that's what, like 2 days? Barely enough time to figure out what even happened?
Exactly. And it emphasizes something we see over and over again in this field. Where your data is stored is just as important as where your business is located.
So even if I'm following all the rules here in the US, if my data is stored somewhere with stricter laws.
You could be in for a surprise. It's like this, you wouldn't open a shop without checking local zoning laws, right?
So the digital world is the same.
Makes sense. So many businesses use cloud services now, you might not even know where your data is physically located.
Precisely. And that's why understanding these global regulations is crucial. It's not just about following the rules, it's about protecting yourself.
Okay, so we've covered the uh-oh moments, the data breaches, but let's shift gears to something more positive. Protecting those brilliant ideas, the stuff that makes a business stand out.
We're talking about intellectual property, IP, the lifeblood of so many businesses, inventions, logos, designs, even that catchy jingle stuck in your head. Right. Our source material actually had a whole chart breaking down those different types of IP protection. Patents, trademarks, copyrights. It was a lot.
Let's break it down then. Imagine you've created something truly amazing, a new app, a groundbreaking invention, some software that'll change the world.
Okay, I like where this is going.
IP law is what prevents someone else from swooping in, copying your idea, and making money off your hard work.
Ah, so it's about protecting your creative and intellectual investments.
Exactly. It gives creators a limited monopoly over their work, a way to actually benefit from their ingenuity. Think about the music industry, for example. Copyrights protect those artists, ensure they're compensated when their songs are played.
That makes sense. Without that protection, why would anyone bother creating in the first place?
Exactly. It's about fostering innovation on a global scale. Which brings us to another fascinating aspect of cybersecurity law. What happens when those creations, those valuable pieces of intellectual property, cross borders?
We're talking about taking your business global, which in the digital world can happen really fast.
It really can. And then we're not just talking about protecting your ideas anymore. We're certainly in the world of export controls. It's not just physical goods anymore. Data, software, even encryption technology. Moving that stuff across borders, that comes with a whole other set of rules.
So it's like digital customs almost. You can't just hit send on a file and assume it's all good.
You got it. And
Yeah.
the stakes can be really high. Say you're a software developer, you've created this amazing new app, and it uses a specific type of encryption. Sounds harmless, right?
Yeah, totally.
But certain types of encryption technology are really carefully controlled because they could be used in, say, military applications.
Hold on. So even if I'm not building weapon systems or anything, my app could fall under these export controls.
It's about understanding that potential for dual-use technology, something that seems totally normal on the surface, but could have a military use as well. That's where these international agreements, like the Wassenaar Arrangement, come in.
Right. Our source material mentioned that. That's basically a bunch of countries all agreeing to control the export of certain sensitive technologies, right?
Exactly. Like a group of friends setting some ground rules to keep everyone safe. They still cooperate, share info, but they also need to be careful about how that technology could be used.
Okay, that's interesting. How so?
Well, the Wassenaar Arrangement, it's not about stopping the flow of tech completely. It's more like checks and balances. The countries involved, they agree to flag certain exports, make sure they're reviewed, not ending up in the wrong hands.
So an extra layer of, like, due diligence. Before you send that software update internationally, you better know where it's going.
Exactly. And here in the U.S., we have ITAR, that's the International Traffic in Arms Regulations. They specifically control the export of anything defense-related military technologies.
And then there's EAR, too, the Export Administration Regulations, which is a bit broader, right? Not just weapons, but anything that could have a military use, even if it's also a commercial product.
Right. And that's what's so fascinating. It's all connected.
Yeah.
Especially when we start thinking about data privacy, because in this digital age, information crosses borders just as easily as any product.
Right. Like those borders we see on a map, they don't mean much anymore when it comes to data.
Exactly. And that's why we're seeing this global push for stronger data protection laws. It's not just about preventing those data breaches. It's about giving people control over their own information.
And that's where we get into all the acronyms. GDPR, CCPA, PIPL. Easy to get lost in all that.
It can feel overwhelming, but the core idea is the same. It's a wave of laws focused on empowering people in the digital age.
So it's not just about avoiding fines. It's about respecting privacy as a fundamental right.
Right.
Right. In a world where that can feel hard to come by.
Exactly. And GDPR, the EU's General Data Protection Regulation, that was a big one. And it has a global reach. It applies to any company handling the data of EU citizens, regardless of where that company is actually based.
So even if I have a small company, let's say, I don't know, somewhere in South America, if I have customers in Europe,
GDPR applies.
No escaping it.
Nope. And don't forget that 72-hour reporting window. For data breaches, remember, those fines for not complying, those are not small potatoes.
Yeah.
We're talking 20 million euros or 4% of global revenue, whichever is higher.
Yeah, those are some serious stakes. Definitely not messing around. But GDPR is just one example, right?
Right. We're seeing similar laws popping up all over. Like in California, the CCPA, that's the California Consumer Privacy Act, gives Californians more control over their data, right? To know what's collected, have it deleted, even opt out of that data being sold.
It's like finally some rules for the data Wild West.
Exactly. And then there's China. They have the PIPL, the Personal Information Protection Law. Major implications if you're doing business there. That's a whole other ballgame. Data localization, consent, cross-border transfer rules, you name it.
It's a lot to keep track of, honestly. Every time you turn around, new law, new regulation, new acronym. But our source material did mention one thing. It's pretty interesting. The right to be forgotten. What is that exactly?
That one's gaining traction globally. It basically means individuals, they have the right to request their data be deleted, taken off online platforms under certain circumstances.
So if I decided, that's it, I'm wiping my digital slate clean, I could just tell companies to delete all my data.
It's not quite that simple. Usually this right to be forgotten, it applies in specific cases. Like maybe the data is not needed anymore, wasn't collected for the reason it's being used now, or someone withdraws consent.
Okay, so there are some rules, but still it's a pretty powerful tool for people to have, you know, control their online presence.
It really is. And it highlights something important here. Data privacy as a right, not just laws, but ethically too. Businesses need to be responsible, transparent with how they handle data.
So beyond checking boxes, avoiding fines, it's about doing the right thing, even when no one's looking over your shoulder.
Exactly. That's how you build trust with your customers. That's the foundation. Respecting their privacy, giving them control.
Okay, so, wow, we covered a lot. Data breaches, the Wild West of data privacy, the right to be forgotten. What's the one big takeaway for our listeners? What should they remember from all of this?
Cybersecurity law. It never sits still. What's legal today might not be tomorrow. Staying informed, that's crucial. But it's more than just the letter of the law. It's the spirit of it, you know, building a culture of cybersecurity within your business.
Thinking ahead, planning for risks, making it part of your business from day one.
Exactly. And remember, you're not in this alone. Get help if you need it. Legal experts, cybersecurity consultants, they can help you navigate all this.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here for, too, breaking down these complicated topics. But, you know, our deep dive today got me thinking, how do businesses balance protecting their IP with this increasing demand for data privacy transparency, especially when that data itself might be considered valuable IP?
It's a tough one. And this conversation is only going to get more important. As tech keeps changing, our lives are more and more digital every day.
Definitely a topic that deserves its own deep dive someday. But for now, I think we've given everyone a lot to think about. Until next time, keep learning, keep asking those questions, and stay curious.